Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you. Thank you. We had a powerful lineup for you today. We're waiting to be joined by Julia Griffin. She does a fabulous show on our network, The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio, How to Master a Higher Frequency for a New State of Mind. She does a great show. And I've asked her to come on for a few minutes to give us a message from the wolves. Her story is unique. Certainly, when I think about her and the life she lived and who she is, I think about, you know, what each of us has been asked to do in this lifetime and step forward. So I know Benny is probably busy trying to make that connection. And then followed by that, Joanne DiMaggio is joining us here today, you know, to give us insights about what I did it to myself again. So all of that is going on. Hi, Benny.
Hi, Pat.
Yeah. So I got Linda there. So they're telling me, is Julia here?
I don't have her on the phone yet. No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Benny, I'm going to give you a number here to call.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure of,
Okay, sounds good. All right. We're doing this old school.
Let's do that.
Yep, okay.
Go ahead.
I'll try
that one.
Let's
do it old school. I like old school. I like old school. You know, what? One of the things we mean when we say old school, and this is what I love from all of you, is that once upon a time, and if you think about this, Jessica always reminds me that sometimes I say some things that are really old school. Like what I'm learning is you don't say the word computer anymore. I didn't know that. I'm not sure what you say, but like not computer. So there must be a new phrase. And you know, there's a commercial on television or some kind of ad on television where there's this, you know, young woman doing something on, I guess, a tablet, and mom says, put your computer away or something. And she says, what computer? But we have to go back. We have to tap into what we're made of. And what we're made of is messages, guidance, spirit, and an ability to master a higher frequency. Julia, it's great to have you. Thanks for coming in for this segment for us.
Well, I'm thrilled. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, this is really the time where messages and guidance and information to help us either make sense of what's happening in the world or to take an action. And I was just telling folks about you and the work that you do, but also about your life and what the gifts and talents are. I am curious to know, and that's why I wanted to bring you on, what is the message for the world? What do the wolves want us to know now?
Well, first of all, they want us to know that there are these wonderful spiritual changes taking place. And when something happens in the spiritual world, it happens there before it happens in our physical reality. So while our physical reality may seem distorted or strange, there are new energies that are coming in. The earth is raising her vibration. We have new ley lines and power points. And soon we will have new frequencies with which to solve problems.
Mm. You know, the conversation about new frequencies is one I want to have with you a little bit further. because to get this message from the wolves, who have incredible, how should I say, sensory, and I think at some level, very intuitive perception. But they also have a way of being that we could certainly learn something from. You know, what is it that...
Their way of being is to always be in a place of power. Mm-hmm. They identify power as using our spiritual gifts and our spiritual abilities to change our reality. So for all of you who've ever been through awakening, everyone knows that your life gets really messed up because a lot of those things are in alignment with who you're not, as opposed to who you really are. So, for example, you have to learn to think the opposite of your problem. If you think that you don't have abundance, then you have to see it. Right now, we have a lot going on that's unfair and awful with racism. So I see the opposite. I see us together in the collective and working together. I see the problems going away. I ask for a higher frequency to send to that. When something in my life isn't working, I really sit down and say, okay, maybe you need to make a change, but how can you see it differently now? And that's how
they
do everything. So they see problems as actually the way that we grow.
You know what? I am so aware of this, Julia. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is, in this short period of time, the reality is this is a short period of time. When we take a look at where we were, let's just say January 1st, for example, right? It is a short period of time between January and today. And I think about my own personal growth, development, and awareness today that I didn't have on December 31st. And the rate or the pace by which we are being asked to understand ourselves better, understand each other better, it's like light speed to me. Is that the frequency you mentioned?
Yes, because this is what the wolves say, is that we all dream together. For those of us who are awake, we're in higher collective consciousness, and that shapes the world. So maybe we wanted nature to clear up. Maybe we wanted to have time at home or to go more slowly in life. Maybe we wanted to work on our computer instead of going into the office. But the wolves say to think of it as one big dream, with everybody who is awake contributing to the overall picture of life. Our dreams, our longings, our desires, the pulse of our heart and other hearts, contribute to the shaping of the world. So it's not just happening. We're feeling this major vibration from nature. And as we feel that vibration, all of us are putting out different dreams. Have you noticed how many people on Facebook now say they want to live in the mountains with a big garden?
Yeah.
They didn't want to before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's changing all of us. And the wolves think that this is going to go on for several years. So we all need to get really strong in our ability to know that we can visualize things differently, feel things differently, and we can change. And that doesn't mean don't look at the truth. We have to see what's really going on. But we also have to say, not just it's bad, but what's my role in changing this? What's my special gift with seeing the beauty in the world or the love in the world? And that's sort of where we go from.
Wow. Julia, thank you so much for joining me here today. And I know people will want to clearly listen to you moving forward on what the messages are. Please let folks know how they can find out more about you.
Okay, and you can find my website, onetrueself.com, O-N-E, trueself.com. You can sign up for my newsletter. I send those out 2 or 3 times a month. I do free webinars. I teach a 9-month series of classes, which is coming up in July. And so there are lots of ways that you can get involved in that. And I hope to hear from you, and I hope you sign up for my newsletter so I can talk to you every week. Today, I have another message going out from the wolves but you can find that in my blog post. And they give pretty detailed instructions on how we can use the energies.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're so right about this. One of the things that I'll say, and I look forward to hearing what more is to come, is I was talking to a friend of mine, and his greatest fear, and this is his words, about going back to work the way it was, is having to tell his kids that he may not be able to have dinner with them quite the way he's done now. And I was talking to him about that, and I said, perhaps you can think about a way to do that. You know, people don't necessarily want to go back to the way it was. And I think that's what you're talking about, too.
It is. We can't go back. We have to go forward, and we have to create a new reality. I think all of us would like to have a world with 30% less carbon emissions, where the world is healing and the ozone layer is going away, and we can see mountains and drink from rivers, and we can be with our families, and we can move into a place of love. And we're all so much more powerful than we know we are. And if we can move into that vibration of believing that, like, well, maybe if I see myself at supper, you know, every night, I'm home for dinner with my family, and we're in a place of love, that love vibration is much stronger than the outside world. So you can bring that about. You know, maybe we brought that about for 3 months, but why not make it so we can move freely in the world, but we can compromise in these areas that nature has shown us where we need to grow and change and to happiness.
Oh, no kidding. Hey, everybody, powerful message from Julia Griffin. And by the way, go to the website, onetrueself.com. Lots more coming up on her fabulous radio show. Julia, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Pat. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
You too. Let's take a short break, everybody. Benny, we'll be right back.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
So how do you value your self-worth? Join Dr. Pat and Sabrina Wright as they introduce Sabrina's holistic approach to self-care and inner peace. Get empowered to make decisions for yourself. Change your view of your own value and learn the tools for investing in who you're designed to be. Live the good life every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on The Dr. Pat Show featuring Sabrina Wright. To learn more, visit SabrinaIsWrighT.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Have you ever wondered what your pets think about? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica will be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friends on Pets Talk with pet communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I was so excited to get ready for this show, Benny, because look, we're going to have a conversation that many of you heard me kind of mention earlier. The book is called I Did It to Myself Again. And this is by Joanne DiMaggio. And here's the thing. New Life Between Lives case studies, how your soul's contract is guiding your life. Now, this, I got to talk about the soul contract. I need to talk to my soul. I need to talk, have a conversation with my soul contract right now. I could almost start by that Marvin Gaye song, What's Going On? What? That one, Benny. But I want to start out with a little affirmation that came inside the book from Sarah Scarlett. And these are these cute little affirmations that she sends with every book we got. So, Joanne, I opened them up. I opened it up, and I want to start by this. And it says, you are only one thought away from a good feeling. And so if you want to get to know Joanne DiMaggio, then you want to know that this is somebody that has been out in the world, therapy for over 30 years, master's in transpersonal psychology, right? Spiritual mentor certification, anything you could think about that connects the dots between our lives and our spiritual journey right here, Joanne DiMaggio. But also she is an author. She's a radio show host. She has been on the show with me before, right? About soul writing, or she's been on the show with me before to talk about, you know, the in-betweenness. Today, though, I got to say this to everybody, because, you know, when people write these books, the deal is they write them like 2 years in advance of us actually getting them. But I can't think of a more timely conversation than talking about soul contracts and guidance than today. Joanne, it's great to have you.
Thank you, Pat. I'm excited to be here.
And, you know, some days I wake up and I'm not kidding. And that song, What's Going On, that's the song that I'm singing to my soul.
Yeah.
But do you think I'm alone? I don't think I am,
no.
Right?
I think that's very appropriate.
But as usual, you've put together another masterpiece that's filled with information based on research, based on case studies, but that bring us to a full circle, so to speak. How significant is it? And I say this because I'm not kidding. Some days I ask myself, what is going on? But how significant is it right now, today, given looking outside our windows here, is it that we understand, one, there is a soul contract, and two, we could get some information from it?
Absolutely. You know, nothing is random. Everything's carefully designed as part of our soul's plan. So experiencing what's going on in the here and now. A lot of people say, why am I here now? Why did I choose to be here during this pandemic or, you know, during a time of civil unrest? You planned it that way. you thought this was going to be a really great time to come in and to work on some karmic issues from the past, apply some of your karmic attributes, and in doing so, to impact others. Because, you know, past life work is really about the present. It isn't about the past so much. So you chose to come in now. You chose every aspect of your life. Nothing, like I said, nothing was random. It was all carefully planned out. And you wanted to be here at a time of great change. You wanted to be here to be an instrument of that change. You wanted to be here to impact others as through your example. There's all kinds of reasons for being here now. There's a lesson in it. There is a opportunity for our souls to grow.
Yeah.
So it's a exciting time to be here. And it's difficult to get through. That doesn't negate that. But what's on the other side looks extremely wonderful and promising right now.
You know, I was talking to Julia Griffin, who was on just to do a short segment a few minutes ago. to give us a message from the wolves. I mean, her story and her journey living with wolves, I mean, it's an incredible story. And her show is fantastic. So I asked her to come on for a few minutes. And one of the things she says is just literally, you two could be twins today. But I said something to her, and I'd like you to comment on it based on your book and the research you've done in the book. Mm-hmm. What I said to her is, for me, I'm looking at today, where I am today, as a person, as many people are, and go back a very, very short period of time. Let's go back to January 1st of this year. Now, in the world of the Earth and the universe, those less than 6 months are like a flea on an elephant's butt.
Right.
And I said to her, oh, my gosh, because she was talking about frequency and things. I have learned more about myself mm-hmm. in these 5+ months than in most of my life. And I have to tell you, this is not the first time I've been here.
Yeah.
I am a old school protesting, burn your bra in Atlantic City. What march can we do today, girl?
Yeah.
So can you talk about why this was important to research this? Because it's so fascinating to me that you do that, and I love that you do that.
Well, I love research projects. I don't write books in which I'm pontificating some sort of a theory or saying to you, you know, this is real, you have to believe it. What I like to do is to work with people, see what their experience is, and then report that. Because as I say on my website, I consider myself a reporter for the universe. Yeah. So I like to go out there and find out what's going on and then write about it and then disseminate that to everybody. This particular research project came about because I've been doing past life work for over 30 years. And there's a pattern that I saw. And the pattern was blaming. You know, my life is the way it is because of so-and-so, my parents, my siblings, my cousins, my children, my husband, whatever. It was always somebody else did this to me, not ever embracing the fact that you did it to yourself, which is where the title comes from. I also had done a lot of research into what other practitioners, authors, leading therapists were writing about the life between lives stage, especially Dr. Michael Newton, who's renowned in this field. And I wanted to confirm or challenge or build on that research. And then I wanted to compare it to the Edgar Cayce teachings, because I consider Edgar Cayce my spiritual mentor.
Yeah.
And I've been with his organization since 1987. So I have studied the readings extensively. So I wanted to see if they compared. And then I wanted to see if there was a common afterlife experience of souls in order to ease the fear of death. So my goal was, well, if I'm going to work with 25 different people, all of whom are strangers, is what they're going to tell me about the dying process going to be similar? And if it is similar, then we, those of us that are still in the physical, would say, well, if that's what dying's like, that's not so bad. Mm-hmm. So there were multiple layers of it. It was learning that everything that happens in your life happens for a reason. Nothing is random. It's all meant for your soul's growth. You planned it that way. And the experience of what goes on after we leave the physical plane is going to be similar to what you're hearing from the people that underwent my research project.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, folks, you all have to read the book to really get a sense of what some of these incredible stories are. And we're going to actually talk about them throughout the show. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was always been a mystery to me. And it's in the book. It's in a bunch of places. I just lost my post-it in the book. But it's this idea of a soul mission. And the reason I'm fascinated by this, and I've shared this story a couple of times on air. You know, we had our high school reunion. And so that's enough to have people you have not talked to in a bunch of decades find you, right?
Right.
Right. And they find you, and then they're looking, and honestly, they're trying to compare pictures. And one of the women said to me, "Are you Pat Basile from Plainfield?" And I said, "Yeah, that is actually me." They said, "We didn't believe it. None of us actually believed it." And I said, "Oh, and why is that?" And they said, well, wait a minute. You're like talk radio. We've listened to your show." They're like, they didn't say dude, but this is me now. They're like, "Dude, you used to stutter. And the last we heard, you were homeless. Then you were arrested. And most of us thought you were dead."
Oh, my goodness.
But that is the first 18 years of my life right there, mm-hmm. in their summary. Mm-hmm. And so how I got here is a complete mystery. And I think your book helps us understand that, mm-hmm. how we get to where we ultimately are meant to go. And I want to ask you this question. There have got to be some elements that were revealed to you that show a pattern, mm-hmm. right, in people, mm-hmm. and how they get from that place to me today. I look back at my life and I could see how I got here. It was a long and windy road, but mm-hmm. maybe my soul was trying to talk to me and I just didn't hear it. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I look at the earth as a school. And I talk about that a little bit. And our life consists of the curriculum that we put together, of issues that we're going to deal with, which is why the past life regression portion of it is so important. Because we start with that so that we can find the lifetime that is most impacting you now. And through that lifetime, you know, we look at the significant event that happened that was so important, it made an imprint on your soul, and you brought it in with you as unfinished business. Mm. Now, maybe in a case like yours, you chose to handle some of that unfinished business in those first 18 years, get that out of the way so that you could get on to the to the next part, the next curriculum, right? The higher level courses that you signed up for. So that's why we identify the origin of any of the karmic issues. We look at what created them, who were involved, and why weren't they resolved? Why did we choose to work on them now? And it's not chronological either. You're not working on things that happened in your immediate past life. When I did my research, I was surprised that 25% of the people went back to a lifetime that happened prior to 1000 AD. So it's just that this life was ideal for them. The situation that the opportunity that they would be born into, from their parents to the neighborhood they would live in to their socioeconomic background, all of that was ideal to work on whatever issue came up in this prior lifetime. So we look at all of that once we have that done, then they go into the afterlife planning session. And there's a lot involved in that. That's like a good portion of the book is, talking about the process of dying, talking about what the afterlife actually looks like, talking about working with ascended masters or higher or your spirit guides or your angel, whatever your belief may be that's comfortable for you. But there is somebody on the other side who is there for you all the time. And, what is that conversation like when you pass over? What do you say about what just happened in the life prior to this one? And your soul family comes into play. You pick your parents, members of your soul family who have been with you lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Now we change roles, we change genders. So your mother in this life could have been your husband in a previous life. We just keep changing. But basically, the essence of the soul stays the same. And they come in with us to help us with whatever issue we tell them we want to work on. So it's, you know, then we come up with a soul's mission statement, which I did that based on the Casey work on what is a spiritual ideal. So we looked at that. They were able then to, in one sentence, say what their soul's mission was. you know, and then we looked at other things like, you know, they did work with the Council of Elders. This is a Council of Beings to help you figure out what you're going to work on. So it's a very intense process. And I don't mean intense in terms of emotionally intense. It's intense in that there's a lot that goes into it. Yeah. There's a lot that's being taken into consideration, including, you know, picking the right body, getting memory triggers. So there's a lot to it. And then we come in, and of course, the first part of our lives, most of us don't remember anything. We don't know what's at play. We have no understanding of why things are the way that they are. And that's where the blame starts to come in. I wouldn't be this way. I wouldn't be in this situation if it weren't for my husband or my wife or my parents. And so the purpose of this project really was to help them see how they were in control every step of the way, that they were guided. And this is such a sacred life. Every lifetime is sacred. And to look at it that way, that you have a role to play, you know, because Edgar Cayce said, no soul enters by chance. Everybody comes in with a purpose. And so I was, you know, assisting everybody in the research project of finding out exactly what that purpose is.
You know, this is really, Joanne, look, I can't say enough about what you do. And I think that for folks, there is so much of what you've written in this book through the eyes, through the souls of other people that explains so much, right? Mm-hmm. Just like you just did so beautifully. And, you know, folks wonder, how do I gain this insight that Joanne is talking about? How do I gain the insight that the people in the book have gained? And, you know, we've heard this time and time again. You know, one way is, right, a past life regression, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The regression will simply tell them what happened in the past that set it up this way. The life between live sessions will actually go through the counseling that took place and the decision-making process, you know, and you'll understand better why things are the way they are. The particulars of it in terms of your relationships with your family and others. So they both work hand in hand. You can do one without the other, but it helps to do them both.
Yeah. In the book, what I was struck by, there are a number of stories that I've kind of latched on to where the it starts out with, for example, Diana, this hard knot of fear, K-N-O-T. This hard knot of fear. And that's what this is called. And right underneath it, it has a soul's mission to help guide others in their healing. And when I read these, and of course you live and breathe this every day, it is so absolutely awakening to hear the revelations that people have when they discover this. And I want to ask you, when you did this research, what was the sense that people, what did people feel after they discovered things?
It depended on what they were looking at the moment, at that particular moment. There were a lot of aha moments, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
Where people were like, they would just stop. And like, oh, no wonder. No wonder things are the way they are. I see. Mm. Oh, no wonder I'm having this problem with this person. You know, I could see what happened between us in the previous life. It all makes sense to me now. That's what I love about this work. It all makes sense. It is very logical. It is based on, the whole thing is based on karma, which is, you know, the law of cause and effect. And so there's a justice in it. And it's all lovingly done. When they go in front of the Council of Elders, you know, they're not being judged. They're not being put in different tiers of souls, which is what some of the other research has done. We're all equals. We're all treated equally. No, you don't go in front of the council and they don't point their finger at you and go, oh boy, you really screwed up that last lifetime, you know, and you're going to pay for that the next time around. So you know, like, for instance, the story of Mark, who was the African-American young woman, 18 years old, during the 18th century. So she was enslaved. She was on a southern plantation and was whipped to death in a party atmosphere. The master's son was making advances toward her, had been doing it for years, and she was constantly resisting. And so he decided to make an example of her and invited all the neighboring plantation owners to come and witness this. And of course, it sickened everybody. And she ended up dying. When I talked to him, now in this life, she is a he and is an attorney and worked on what would you expect him to work on but civil rights issues.
Right.
So that sort of balancing is very common in this work. You see it all the time. And also there's tremendous healing. You've got people who were, I have clients who come to me and they say, I have a sense I'm a healer. I want mm-hmm. to be doing some healing work with people, but something's stopping me. I don't understand it. Well, you take them back to a prior lifetime. And, you know, when I ask them, what's the significant event in that life? They see themselves out in a forest gathering roots and herbs and things like that, but they're constantly looking over their shoulder because they're afraid that they're going to be seen doing this. They're going to be accused of witchcraft and then tortured and killed. Yeah. And so now in this life, when they say, I want to be a healer, something is stopping them. Well, it's the memory of what happened to you before when you tried this. So we work through that, and then that's lifted from them, and they go on to continue their great work here. So the value is incredible, the changes in people. The most emotional events are when they see something that tears them up inside as far as the death of someone, or especially the death of a child. And I've also had people who were very emotional when they saw their council of elders and saw that there was a religious, especially those who saw Jesus on their council of elders, they would just burst into tears and say a prayer of gratitude. Thank you for being with me. So there are different points in time in looking at their past life, as well as going through the life between life sessions, that would hit a nerve, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of them. Every one of them, I think, that listed in the book has some sort of a story that goes along with that.
Yeah, I am so interested in this. And by the way, I was going to call you. Linda and I were talking, and I said, you know, I think I need to call Joanne. I think I need to schedule my past life session. And why? Why now? So this is interesting, right? We're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about this when we come back. But before we go to break, two things. How do people get a copy of the book? And let's get them to your website, because you've got a ton of information here. And they can schedule their own past life session with you, or a life between life session, because you're doing them on Skype, right?
Skype and Zoom, yeah.
Right.
And they're very successful that way, too.
Yeah, so I love Zoom.
Be concerned about that.
Okay. What website is it, Joanne DiMaggio?
joannedimaggio.com, right.
Okay.
And my books are all on Amazon.
Yeah, and the book that I'm talking, and she said books like with an S, right?
Yes.
I have to do this work with you, because one of the PR people that represents all of y'all said to me, you need to find out, Pat, why you cannot write your book. She's like, you've got like 5 books in there. You have a story to tell. Why are you not writing it? That is a really good question. The book is I Did It to Myself Again. New Life Between Lives case studies show how your soul's contract is guiding you. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the book, but we're going to talk about the process, because one thing that I want everybody listening to know about Joanne, she and I have one thing in common. We both have that research mind, that mind that is so curious, you know. And when I was reading her book, there were so many stories in the book But why is it you can read some things and catch a sentence of somebody else's story, right? What is it about that? You read a sentence, just maybe one little sentence, and your eyes get teared up. Why? What is going on? Yeah. That's that song, Benny. What's going on? I did it again. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back with Joanne.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Have you ever heard of the 90-10 rule? It goes like this. 90% of the time, no one is thinking of you. 90% of the time, everyone's thinking about themselves. And if you think of it like that, it takes the weight off because now you're not being judged. I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on Playing on the Edge Radio, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Radio FM.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Oh, my God, that man was so far ahead of his time. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Really thrilled to have Joanne DiMaggio here. She is going to come back for a number of reasons, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Again, if you want to find out about her, go to our website, joannedimaggio.com. It's DiMaggio.com. And when you go there, it says regression services, it says soul writing, it says lectures, books, everything is here, including her story. And so take a look at that. You'll also find her soul's mission right there, right there. She admits to what that is, which is Joanne's soul purpose is to observe, record, and disseminate. And quotes now, I am a reporter for the universe. Wow. Joanne, I want to talk to you about what I said before the break, that I was going through some parts in the book and I hit a couple places where I was emotionally hit. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Emotionally hit. And then I just shared during the break that I had a flashback to a reading that I had gotten, P-Town, Cape Cod, one summer, very young. I don't think I was even 21 yet. that I hadn't remembered till 2 days ago. Can you talk about how other people's experience when they are sharing their soul contracts, how that might affect the reader?
Oh, well, I think in every single case, there's some element of that that you can relate to. There's such a profound truth in everything that they're sharing that it reaches us on this really deep level. And we say, I know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Or that reminds me of whatever. There's a lot of resonating going on between the reader and the story. So I think that that ability to identify and empathize with this the journey that these people took, because, you know, as I stated in the front of the book, when we were going over the statistics on who was actually coming for these the makeup of the 25 people who were in my research, these were people from all sorts of professional backgrounds. I had social workers and educators and nurses and lawyers and healing practitioners. I even had a historian. And the average age was 62. So these were people that were very settled in life, renowned in their professions, not the kind that you would be inclined to think would fantasize about something. And that's like always the biggest question. People are concerned that they're making it all up, but all of them, no matter who they were, how old they were, what their background was, they all had a very humbling past life experience. And humbling in that they learned a lesson. They may have done some horrendous things, but it humbled their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought that in with them into this life. And to see that happen, I think deep down inside you feel, well, if that can happen to them, then mm-hmm. what about me? You know, if they're finding answers to questions mm-hmm. that they didn't have answers before, and this session led them to this, then why, what about me? You know, what I find an answer to. So I think there's that identification that goes on. And I also think you get attached to these people. I know I did, you know, in a very real way, even though I knew them because they were, you know, I spent hours with them on this work. But that identification with another soul that has experienced something similar to yours, or maybe something mm-hmm. a lot more traumatic than yours, or the opposite, you know, a very contented. I did have people who did not have any major issues. They had a very contented, happy mm-hmm. life. So I think that's the common thread that we respond to.
You know, it's interesting because I am acutely aware. And first of all, I just want to say the memorial that's going on right now as we speak for the memorial service for George Floyd
mm-hmm.
is, to me, it is both gut-wrenching to watch and understand what that atrocity is about, but it's also, you know, it hits me at a very core level. And I was watching the original clip, what was it, about a week ago? And I had such a visceral reaction to it. You know, my friend said to me, why are you reacting? And I said to her, I know what it's like to not breathe, because I had two situations in my life as a child where I couldn't breathe, right?
Mm-hmm.
One was I almost drowned in a pool. And so the gut feeling for what that must have felt like for this man who had no control,
mm-hmm.
you know, this, the pain of not being able to take a breath
mm-hmm.
just hit me at such a visceral level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And outside of the absolute inhumane experience that he went through, there's such a visceral nature of this. And the second part I said to her was, I just don't get why in my lifetime I have such a reaction to injustice. You know, I studied broken promises and procedural justice for 10 years. I researched it. And I think what you're talking about in your book is that sometimes there's a pattern in our life that calls us to either take an action to move forward, right? Mm-hmm. Or we experience the pain of not taking that action. And I don't know if I'm oversimplifying this, but what would you say to that? Isn't that sometimes what happens to people when they don't follow the soul contract?
Oh, I could talk for hours on that subject.
Will you come back? Will you come back and do that? Because that is something we don't talk about. We always want to talk about all the positive stuff in the soul contract. I want to talk about what happens when we don't follow it.
Well, you know, I have a group of 9 spirit guides that I work with when I do my soul writing. Soul writing, by the way, for your audience, is writing in a meditative state. So it's, or an altered state of consciousness. So if you think of prayer as you talking to God, meditation as God talking to you, soul writing is you taking notes. And so I check in with them fairly often, and I've written a book or two on that as well. The guidance I have been getting for a couple of years is, what in the heck are you doing, Joanne? You're supposed to be writing. Because, you know, I see something else and it catches my attention and then off I go. You know, I was running the healing center at Unity of Charlottesville for 7 years, and my guidance kept saying, you're not on the earth to be a landlord. You're on the earth to be doing this writing. And so it got more and more painful when I didn't follow Spirit's call.
Right.
The point where, you know, that expression, when the pain of change is
greater
than the pain of staying the same, you change.
Yeah. The pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change.
You change. Yeah. And I think that's, and I really think that this, starting with the pandemic, when we were forced to stay home, I think a lot of us started to do a lot more introspective work than we ever did before. A lot more meditating. Yeah. A lot more praying, a lot more looking at our lives and reprioritizing everything, because all the things that we had taken for granted were no longer there for us.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have that ability to just spontaneously go out and do something. You know, we were forced to stay in. I know for me, I've started to read more. Mm-hmm. I started to write more. And I felt this joy of doing the reading and the research and the writing. And I remembered that. I remembered that ever since I was a child, I loved being in a library and doing research, and I loved writing. And I thought, I want to feel like this all the time.
Wow.
So what I have to do to feel like this, I have to let go of something else.
And I think
you do.
Yeah. I think right there is the segue for the next show we'll do together. Because if we don't let go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always turn out pretty. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
But will you promise to come back?
I do promise.
So we can talk about that. Because a lot of times we don't. The reason I'm going to schedule a session with you is because reading your book, having memories of the past, watching what's happened to George Floyd, watching that video where he couldn't breathe, and then myself feeling that from earlier experiences in my life, I have to get at the bottom of it. Joanne DiMaggio, everybody, thank you for today. I'm Dr. Pat, and guess what? She will be coming back. We've got another hour coming up with Sue Storm. We'll be right back.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.